Now we're good.
Still showing winter, no signal up on the board.
Oh, that's my computer.
Okay.
That's not broken.
Okay.
Yes.
Call a meeting in order. We'll take the roll. The chairman, Ramiro Ross, is excused. Michael Normon.
Here.
Okay, Frank Correa is present. Lawrence Stone.
Present.
Lou Pollock is excused. Lawrence Phillips is present. Benjamin Leckley.
Here.
Stephen Day.
Here.
Okay. And Jesus Harold.
Here.
Staff liaison, Public Works Director is present. Okay, now, do call to the public. Anybody have anything to say from the general public or anyone with a letter in their pocket? Now's your time. We have nothing, so we will move on to old business. And so at this time, we're going to turn it over to the Public Works Director. He's going to give us an update on the Tombstone Canyon project.
So I have a few handouts that you should have. The first one that we're going to look at is the Sunland Asphalt proposal. This proposal is that Sunland came down and did an assessment. They're proposing to do a slurry seal, the same as that Tucson Asphalt, their original proposal was. Their proposal came in at $244,364.21. That's nearly $200,000 less than what Tucson Asphalt did. Their slurry seal that they're proposing is a proprietary mix by Sealmaster, and I gave you all a copy of the cut sheet of that material. The limits of the project are the same as Tucson Asphalt, so this seems like it's a good proposal for, in my opinion, and something that I'd like to try to get done. We'll talk more as we come down here a little bit about how we're going to do that. In addition to the Sunland Asphalt proposal, Tucson Asphalt did give me a proposal for the green asphalt, similar to exactly the same as we did on Bisbee Road. That proposal came in at $1,124,284.08. That's a large amount to look at.
That's all those adjusting the water meter valves.
Yeah. That does.
That does
add a lot of money in there, because once you put the asphalt overlay, we do have to make adjustments. Any questions on those two proposals?
Not on your proposal. What's our time frame?
Well, again, let me see your paving. Okay, so I can talk about it now. So I have a meeting with the city manager and our finance director on Monday afternoon to figure out where we're at. I mean, I know how much we've spent in our current paving project over in the terraces. I know what the budget line item says that they budgeted for. I need to get with the city manager and the finance director to find out if we've got fund balance to that it's available to us. If we do have fund balance available to us from last year's tax money, we're sitting really pretty. We should be able to complete our goal of paving this year.
And would that be used for the Tombstone Canyon?
Yes.
Okay. And then the slurry seal, how long should that last?
The warranty on that, and it says that in their proposal, the warranty on it is for 1 year for their workmanship.
Uh-huh.
However, slurry seal usually lasts about 5 years.
Okay.
5 to 7, you know, but about 5 years.
Okay. So after that, then the city would need to look at doing an overlay with asphalt or do
sure.
slurry seal again?
Absolutely. And again, later on in this meeting, I can show you how we, how we're gonna go about that when I do I work pavement management demo. I can show you how we're gonna, years down the road, know what we need to do.
Okay, great.
Okay, and you just answered my question. We got a 1-year standard industry warranty.
Yes.
Okay. I have no more questions myself. Anybody?
Yes, Ben.
What's the difference in thickness between this Tucson asphalt and the Sunland? Because the Tucson asphalt indicates water valves, meter boxes, manholes, whatever.
Okay, so the proposal that I gave you from Tucson Asphalt is a asphalt overlay. So that, we're, when we talk about thickness, when with, yeah, we're talking an inch and a half, an inch to 2 inches. I think, if I remember correctly, when Tucson Asphalt came in, I was talking to them about it, they can go with a 1-inch lift for the overlay. They still, that's why we'd have to go and adjust manholes and...
The same thing they did on Bisbee Road.
Correct.
I'd say you wouldn't need to do that with
no.
Some of
them. No, what that does is that's a topical application, fills in cracks, fills in the voids, and then the polymer in that will bond it and mix it. It's actually got rubber in it.
So they do crack sealing before they do
Yes,
the
they do.
I'd like to talk to the contractor. Do they take and saw the crack before they seal it, or do they just put it down as it is?
Depends on the crack. If it's a nice clean crack and they can clean it up, they won't have to saw it. But if they're real jagged,
yeah,
they will have to saw and clean it up so that way they can clean the crack out.
Well, right here on the contract says power sweep and clean with compressed air and seal all cracks 3/4 inch larger, so what will not with air.
Yep.
Wow. Another question I have, Jesus, is do you think that this seal coat will give us, let's say, 5-year service life? And possibly in that 5 years we could find the money to do a mill and overlay on that?
Yes, yes, I do.
Do you have that goal in mind?
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely. When I show you the demo of our pavement management program, you'll see how it works and how it's, we can forecast a lot way into the future.
Okay, that's good long-range planning. Okay. Anybody got anything before we go on?
I guess my question is one you've heard from me before, striping. Restriping something like this for either one, you know, just kind of any opportunities that don't add budget cost to add bike lanes or additional
Absolutely.
Tourist parking, I would support.
Absolutely, that is what I'm looking towards. Will there be an opportunity to, some of those lanes are larger, wider than normal. I'll be able to narrow those lanes down, create some parking on one side or the other. Narrower lanes also will help with traffic calming. And so that absolutely we'll be able to address that.
That's the Upper Canyon.
Correct. Yeah, in multiple places we'll be able to do some changes to the from what is currently there.
Are they going all the way up to the end of Highland Avenue, or are they going to stop at the overpass?
No, we're stopping at the overpass where it turns into West Boulevard.
Okay, West Boulevard. Okay. Okay, anybody? Item number 2, herd dollars versus tax dollars. So, anybody want to take the lead on this? Larry?
Well, I think we got a monthly statement for the 2 months ending August 31st, 2019, and it shows expenses, and I'm not sure I saw a revenue sheet. I guess this other sheet that is the old form, still we're relying on that for the revenues.
That's going to be revenues only from the 1% sales tax. We do get other revenue sources from HERF.
Can we get that number?
Yes, absolutely. I don't have that with me, but for the, I will make sure that we get that to you.
And I think that also, we talked a little bit about this before, and the skipping down to the old business, the financial update, I don't think anybody here on this committee has a number this month of what the balance might be available for streets and infrastructure.
We do. We can get to that.
I'd like to just know every time we convene here what the balance is, you know, against what the projects are that we're, you know, supporting, and then we can go month by month, maybe like that.
Yep.
Because the numbers are all over the place.
Yes, so. We can.
Okay, great.
Okay, anybody else?
I think in regards to the new accounting practice of the city, of taking a percentage out for overhead costs, like labor, electricity, those sorts of things. At some point, it would be nice to see, you know, what they're taking out of other funds and make sure there's not overlap. They're not taking from here, taking from there, that it adds up. So if they're, I think they're establishing what I would call an overhead rate of a certain percentage, right?
So what you want to see, you want to see the percentage that is taken from,
well, if they're taking,
that we're paying for labor for
other departments. Exactly. Yeah.
We don't pay anything for other departments out of this fund.
Right, but I'm saying if they're taking a percentage from streets and infrastructure from public works, and then they're taking a percentage from other departments, that they all equal 100%. Or some sort of factor that can be accounted to on a big picture.
So there should be a uniform overhead rate.
Yeah.
Percentage should be.
There is nothing that should be paid from streets that does not have to do with streets and infrastructure.
Right. And
so we need to check this in a little bit. I think what you're talking is about is that there are some restrictions on the 1% sales tax money.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to cover like the cost of like the people we take from other areas of the city to use to do the streets with, there's a percentage of that 1% that legitimately should come out of that,
mm-hmm.
because it is being used to pave and repair streets.
And also,
so that's why I'm not arguing about too much. Yeah. The only question I would have would be maybe if there was some sort of an itemization, a little bit, mm-hmm. maybe somewhere down the road, somebody just said, took a look at it, you know, how many hours somebody, just keep track of the actual amount of hours somebody works, they probably already do, but...
Yeah, or maybe it's a fraction of the overall budget.
What I'm thinking is the percentage is just an easier way to do that than having to keep track of everybody's hours every month constantly, so it's just, they just do look at it over a few months ago, it's pretty much this.
Yeah, I'm not arguing whether or not it's a bad thing, it's just that when they take parts from each, that the overhead doesn't
equal. Some of the funds goes to that, some of the evergreen funds go to that, so some of each of the funds go to...
That it equals 100% or less.
100% hopefully.
Well, I think maybe what you were trying to express was that if we're going to pay 22% toward the overhead, which is kind of what the number is, 190,000 on $1.2 million or something,
mm-hmm.
then... what's the wastewater treatment? What are they paying?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. If you want to see that kind of thing, absolutely. So the financial report, monthly financial report that you get for streets, I get the same thing for every one of my divisions within Public Works.
Right.
And so if you want to see a comparison of that, we can I can provide that to you.
Yeah, because I'd heard a rumor that maybe that wasn't uniform across all of the departments in the city, that maybe streets and infrastructure is paying 20%. And wastewater treatment was paying 10%.
Well, wastewater has 3 employees. Streets has 4 employees.
Well, but the amount of overhead that you're getting from each department should be the same. If it's 10% for wastewater, shouldn't it be 10% for streets and infrastructure?
The overhead that
not of the whole city, but just of the. How do you calculate that we owe $190,000, our share of.
Well, that doesn't, we don't owe it to anybody, because it, we owe it to our employees, and we use that, that money to pay for gloves. We use it for the, for fuel for our vehicles. We, it doesn't go anywhere. We don't give it to, it doesn't come out of our, it doesn't come out of the streets budget.
Yeah.
Until we go to pay a bill. It doesn't go to anything else.
I'm not talking about the $1.2 million budget. Mm-hmm. It's the budget for streets and infrastructure.
You're talking about the 1% sales tax.
Now, that's part of the $1.2 million. HERF is...
Yes, yes.
Is
that's the other portion.
$500,000, let's say.
Yes.
And the 1% sales tax is $700,000, yes. Let's say. And that's $1.2 million.
Yes.
Let's say. And then out of the $1.2 million, there's expenses.
Yes.
And all of those expenses, we understand, are direct costs for streets, except for... the $190,000 transfer to the general fund to support the overhead.
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about the general fund transfer. So,
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, okay. So what you're talking about are the indirect costs.
Well,
or overhead. Which right. is basically...
Yeah. You're talking about the general fund transfer that has to support administrative
right.
costs.
Yeah,
for,
exactly.
Right. Right. Well, okay, I see.
You and want to see something like... Okay, I understand what you're asking right, for.
So, it, so if that $190,000 is what percentage of $1.2 million... It's not 20%, but let's whatever it is. Is that number uniform across all of the departments and all of the city?
I wouldn't think so, but I couldn't answer that question.
Well, why would it be more for streets and infrastructure?
It would be different for different departments because they require more administrative... They require more...
Yeah.
You know, different departments.
Yeah, sure. Well, okay. But
It just depends on what they require. I can look into that for you.
Right. Well, I heard that was, concerning to somebody.
Okay.
Let me kind of, I think I know what you guys want to know is, and if my memory serves me well, the city charter doesn't make any requirements that all departments be assessed the same percent. And I think what the director is saying is that due to the cost of operating the department, their percentage is higher than water treatment or some other department who doesn't
right.
require as much cost.
And I haven't looked at that line item closely enough to tell you whether one division of Public Works or one budget pays more than the other, or who pays the most, right? So right. We can look at that. I understand what you're asking for, so we can look at that.
Well, once we know what the number is, I mean, you know, anyway, yes.
I have a question, Ben. Are you concerned in your question that there is a possibility of double payment to separate entities paying the same bill and the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing?
Yeah, that would be correct.
Okay.
But not out of any malice, just out of not knowing what the numbers are.
Yeah.
And just guessing.
Yeah. Double billing. Here's
I'm not saying that they're trying to collect more than 100% of their operating costs, but I have some concerns. I mean, I know it doesn't cost them any money to collect the money, the revenue side of this. They're not sending out bills to 5,000, households saying this is what your sewer bill is this month. And you know what I'm saying? It just appears that HERF money is this and the 1% sales, it doesn't cost them anything to collect the money. So on the revenue side, the cost of operating this is zero.
Correct.
And then on the expense side of it, don't they just turn all of the money over to the Department of Public Works, $1.2 million?
Correct.
So this costs $190,000 a year to oversee the disbursement of $1.2 million, right? And it's not even $1.2 million because it's really only $720,000. We'll call the income from the 1% sales tax because the HERF money was always there and it was always being overseen.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now comes another $670,000. This is where I came up with the 20% number. And so in order to oversee the $670,000 1% sales tax, the city wants streets and infrastructure to pay $190,000 a year to oversee the dispersment of that, which is basically giving it to streets and infrastructure, giving it to Department of Public Works.
You would have to talk to the finance director to know exactly where that dispersment goes to.
The marginal cost of administering the $670,000 is practically nothing.
It's that number, I believe, is the cost for the entire, it doesn't, it's the cost for administration for the entire thing, including HERF. It doesn't, it's.
Well, yes, but the HERF was being administered before there was a $190,000 transfer out of streets and infrastructure in HERF. I don't know how much was being taken out of HERF before.
I couldn't tell you.
Exactly, so we, you know, the numbers are kind of fuzzy. We'd like to bring the numbers into focus.
Okay.
Exactly, and I think that's what it is, because I think the concern is, because what we're talking about are indirect costs, the costs for the administrative side, that they're not direct costs related to the paving project. So I think the concern is that whenever you have a pot of money, like a special tax fund for paving streets, it can be tempting to use that fund to subsidize other city operations that may be underfunded. So, you know, I think part of the role of a committee like this is to make sure that the funds are being spent appropriately on the what the voters approve them for, and make sure that we're not inappropriately necessarily subsidizing other functions of the city that weren't authorized under either HERF or the sales tax. So it's kind of a transparency thing.
Understanding,
you know, the percentage, what it is, and kind of how that percentage, the overhead or the indirect cost percentage was calculated. So we can say, yeah, that's fair, that's reasonable to cover the cost for HR, for accounting, for city manager's office, for maintenance of the city buildings, that sort of thing. Those are all things that are indirectly related to supporting the mission of paving the streets. That's kind of, I think, is that right, Larry?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure HERF does allow paying for administrative costs, but you know, it has to be fractional to whatever those actually are.
Yeah. Most funding, you know, grant funds, that sort of thing, they do allow for a certain percentage that can go towards, you know, indirect costs. My experience with dealing with federal grant funds is usually you can use up to 10% without having an indirect cost study.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're over that.
Yeah, we're around 16.
Right. Well, and the point I was making was that prior to 2015, when the 1% sales tax came into being, there was still money that was being spent to oversee the allocation of HERF funds alone without the 1% sales tax. And after 2015, when the 1% sales tax came into being, then there was, I imagine, a marginal increase in that overhead cost number. And I believe that, to me, it seems as though the amount of increase in the marginal cost of the overhead deduction was out of proportion to the $670,000 of income that was being generated by the 1% sales tax that was being dedicated to streets and infrastructure.
Okay, I understand where we need to do it. I will get with the finance director, and yeah, we can get the answer that satisfies the
okay
question.
Right. Well, and then together with maybe learning a number, you know, so I've heard people say as much as, well, maybe we have $1 million, well, maybe we have $750,000, well, we were really only budgeted to spend $500,000. So the numbers of what would be available for expenditures, dot streets and infrastructure, I've heard go from $500,000 to $1 million. That's not very tight to me. So let's, I think every month there should be a number. You know,
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Anybody else? Anything? Okay, we move over to item number 3, paving update. H's, want to take that?
So, again, one of your handouts I gave you, there's a sheet, looks like this with some highlights on there. It says pavement project. So we completed our paving at the terraces area of Warren. With that, we spent $285,401.40 on asphalt. That does not include any labor or anything. This is what we spent on asphalt. The roads that we are looking at doing next are Briggs Road from East Vista to Arizona Street, D'Autremont from East Vista to Arizona Street, and then Quality Hill. There's a section that was not paved when they last completed it, and that is at the southeast section. So you come up the hill and you start coming back down on the backside. It needs to get paved. So those are the next three roads that we would like to do. That is really dependent on what happens with the Tombstone Canyon. You can see that we spent $285,000 on the terraces. In our line item for the 1% sales tax, it shows that they budgeted $500,000. This is where I need to go and meet with the city manager and the finance director to see if we have that fund balance that's available to us. If we do have that fund balance, we should be able to complete Tombstone Canyon and these three roads. If we don't have fund balance, you received that proposal from Sunland, we would be going over budget slightly just by doing Tombstone Canyon. So after my meeting on Monday, I should have a clear picture on what we can do. I hope that that everything turns out the way I think it should be. We should be able to do Tombstone Canyon. These three roads, those three roads will, the additional roads will be approximate at $45,730. And then if we do have that fund balance, whatever is next, we'll go on with these next roads that here that are listed as extra roads to pave.
Yeah, I just want to say those extra roads to pave, I don't know if you guys have been on them, but they're beyond the last, they're pretty bad.
I would agree.
They're steep.
I would agree. We definitely need to evaluate the volume of traffic also. I agree that so these roads, all of these roads that are on here on this list, they need to be paved. We need to get them done. So we'll definitely do our best to get them done as quickly as possible.
With the completion of D'Autremont, that's going to do Warren, isn't it? Basically,
there are still a few. Well, D'Autremont and Briggs, and then there is Douglas Road, I believe.
Yeah. Douglas Street.
Douglas Street.
Yeah.
It's behind the old Public Works building. That's another one that needs to be done. But again, we only have so much, a limited amount of funds that we can do, and so we'll do our best to get everything we can.
Yeah, because there's to Vista to Bisbee Road.
Actually, Briggs and the Atramont, both of them, they aren't all the way. We're just doing the worst section of those because we could go all the way to Bisbee Road, mm-hmm. But when Matt Gurney and myself, we went and assessed those. We looked at them. We said, hey, these are the bad sections. Mm-hmm. Let's get these and let's try to get the worst section of these so we can get this done. So this is where we're at for this year, and hopefully we get to our goal.
This is just for, you mentioned Douglas Street, and I just made me think that's a big, wide, straight shot, and it'd give you the opportunity to do some enhancement there. Whatever, in what form that would take, I don't know, but you could do, if there's a parking problem somewhere in that area, you could do, something creative with all that extra wide open space.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of dirt on the upside, and if you pave, all that migrates down onto your pavement and causes it to wear prematurely. I'm sure you're aware of that, but just a little bit of opportunity there might appear when you go to paved yet.
Have you been on Campbell Avenue between First and Second?
I'd have to look at it. Can we look at that? They can pull it up.
That's in Bakerville. Oh, yeah, it runs right parallel with it.
That's the one you sent me, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I have been on it. Is it street?
Avenue.
Right across the street from the Campbell Shack.
Oops. I'm spinning around here, sorry. So we're talking about right here, this section.
Right here?
No, that's the other way down. I'm sure you're right.
This way.
That way, yeah, that way. Yep, that's one.
Well, they all kind of needed that episode.
Well, all of those roads in Bakerville got paved 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
except Campbell Avenue between First and Second.
Okay. I can add that so that we can take a look at that.
Thank you.
They got it between First and Warren.
Is that street on a steep slope?
No, it's flat and it has a drainage problem. It fills up with water when it rains like it did the other day. Mm. And it hasn't been, it's like I say, every place else in Bakerville has been paved except Campbell Avenue between First and Second. And it's just about dirt. See, well, let's see, that's, there you go. Right. It's gravel, dirt. At some point it's been narrowed to less than 8 feet by the Dr. Julie's Medical Clinic on the corner of 2nd and Campbell Avenue. There's dirt and palm fronds and everything else in the road, a 6 foot wall.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we'll definitely take a look at that.
Okay, I'm
going to
pass everybody happy with the paving update. Nobody got any questions. Okay, we're going to go to item number 4 and take the financial update.
I apologize. I didn't bring the monthly report.
Yeah.
Do you have a copy of that?
I got this one. Is this the latest one that we had?
That's what month is that?
August 31st.
Yeah, first 2 months of fiscal year 2019.
Yes, we didn't get a September.
We don't have the current one.
We don't have a September. If you want, I can kind of go over that really quick.
We can. This is the one everybody's had before.
Right.
You guys have seen this before?
Yeah.
We got it last meeting.
So. What I do, just for finance, for your information here, what I do is with my division heads, we go over this sheet all together, and what I first thing we do is we look at the far right column and look at any kind of, it shows the percentage, and then we can see on the bottom that we've through August 31st, we were 17% of the way through the fiscal year, the budget year. And we go through and we pick out anything that looks way out of proportion. It looks like there's repair and maintenance other, and this one's at 67%. I couldn't tell you exactly what that is right now, but that line item was only budgeted $1,000, and we spent $675. So I wouldn't something like that. We would, what was it? And I don't see that being a big number there. Another one that comes up is non-capital admin equipment and furniture. Again, that's furniture. It was only $1,000 that was budgeted in it. We spent $800. So I wouldn't really see anything out of the normal there. But that's the way we go over our budget. And again, this was something that you guys have seen last month. So I don't have the newest one, so when we get that newest one, we can do the same thing I do with my division leads. We can look at that, and you guys can pick out something that looks odd to something that just sticks out, and we can talk about that. That's okay.
Okay, and everybody's got their copy of the materials cost or paper. Yep. Okay. It's pretty much self-explanatory right now. We've got close to $500,000 total. So, any questions on it?
That's the number you just said you're going to confirm with finance?
Well, I can tell you right now that one's going to be a little different from what finance has because of that. But so finance in our budget, you can see on the financial report, it'll say that we had $500,000 budgeted for our materials in that line item. That's the one I'm going to say I want to confirm that we have fund balance from last year that we can use.
Price of asphalt taking a hike?
Well, here I can show you. Well, we
off the top of your head.
$9.54 is what it costs to pave a square yard. I apologize. At a 2-inch lift.
That's a comprehensive cost. You're just
That's what it costs for asphalt. We pay $85 a ton. $85 a ton. It turns out to be $9.50. I believe $9.54 a square yard to pay.
Well, I've been expecting the gas prices to go up, but no.
I believe last year when they paved, they were paving at $80 a ton.
Yeah, $80 a ton.
So we're paying paid $85.
That was when they first started paving. It was $80. It's been that was that way for a while.
Yeah. So that's what it costs, and I can show you. When we do this demo, I can show you where we get that input from.
Okay. Where is the tar coming from? Tucson?
Sierra Vista. Sierra Vista.
Is there a refiner there or something?
Yeah, KENG.
KENG's got a batch plant. Okay. And thank God for them, and I don't know how their business has been lately, but I hope we're keeping them in business.
Yeah, they seem to be doing pretty well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Sierra Vista is expanding, so.
They are?
But they, yeah, well, I mean, they're always putting in parking lots and stuff.
When I first looked at these numbers on 10/25/18 on the remaining Warren work, it seemed like it was exactly almost a $1 per square foot of blacktop. That's how it kind
that's
of,
pretty close. We're doing square yards, so if you divide that by 9, you're getting close.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay, anything else on financial update? Anybody?
Chip seal.
Okay. You're up, Ben. Parking plan.
I can talk to you. Ben and I met and we discussed some of the parking plan, and we came up with a few options that I'm going to present to the city council. So what we found was that the easiest, the lowest hanging fruit was that we just sometimes people didn't know exactly where the public parking was. So I'm going to be adding some parking signs directing some parking. There's some public parking right here on Tombstone Canyon, just what is that, east of Clawson, I guess. So here's Clawson. There's some public parking in here, and so when we go and we get people that are driving around Main Street, Tombstone Canyon, Subway, they might not know that there's parking there. So we're going to add some parking directing them, hey, there's additional parking over there. The other thing is that there is public parking, where is that? Right here. Shear Avenue. There's some we have public parking there. There are people that, again, that's kind of behind those buildings. They don't know that there's parking there. So I'll add some, again, some directional signs showing where the public parking is. The big one here is that I'm going to propose that I'm going to reverse the one-way of Shear Avenue. Right now, it's one-way down the hill. If I add the public parking signs, directional signs over here, maybe in Tombstone Canyon area somewhere, and then direct them up Shear Avenue so that they can find these public parking places. That may, you know, may the business owners there may have some shock to it. However, I think that it's going to be better for them because they're going to get more traffic. They're going to get traffic going up the hill, and then the people are walking back down the hill. So they're going to see that. So in addition to that, and so we'll add some up in here in the Shear Avenue, Clawson area, we'll add some directional signs to help people get back to Tombstone Canyon and then maybe back over here using Taylor Avenue to get onto Brewery Avenue. So we'll add some signs to help out to find where the existing parking is. With reversing Shear and having going up the hill instead of down the hill, that reduces the need to have this little section between Shear and Tombstone Canyon before it turns into Main here. This is a two-way section of subway. Everything here is one-way, so that'll allow me to change this all to one-way subway. That section is wide. So I'll stripe some edge lines so that we can add, I mean, I can zoom in here some. We're going to add some edge lines so that we can have some angled parking right here next to this building here. We'll still have plenty of space for them to drive around there. I think I can get maybe 4 to 6 spaces because this next thing I want to do is we know here that on Tombstone Canyon, the edge line is marked right here. There is no edge line on the other side. So I'm going to add edge lines there. And then there's two parallel parking spaces right there. I'm going to change those to angled parking too so we can get a couple more spaces there. That's what I'm going to present to the council.
So you go up Shear to the parking lots. How do you get out of there over the top and then down?
Like, we can go two ways. We can use
Tack Avenue. That we get tow truck drivers and keep
that Tack. Itch. You know, the other thing that the police chief asked me to look at is maybe turning Tack into one way so that we can have them just come down here. If they're coming
Tack
up,
one way going down is the best.
Coming down Tack one way.
Yeah.
And then up one way going Shear.
Yeah,
so we can.
Tack going up is actually, I've seen people get stuck in that little bed.
We put a railing on where it goes in. There's like a little trick spot. They put a railing up there